Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, my name is Antonio Nieto Rodriguez. I'm an expert in projects and project management. I'm HBR author, and I look forward to this conversation with you, John.
Antonio, thank you so much for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. I'm very excited about this conversation, mainly because of most of my professional career is based on project management. I grew up, you know, professionally in project management, led the PM teams for companies of various size. So I'm very excited about this conversation. But before we do that and jump into a lot of the great stuff that you're working on, such as your book, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
Sure, Jan. So a bit like you, I started in projects in a big consulting firm. I started like a project office assistant, which basically was bringing the coffee to the project manager and chasing people for timesheets. So I said, I want to be like my boss. And then I grew into project, program, and PMO director, expert on portfolio. I think what fascinated me since early stages was if managing one project is a challenge, how do companies manage 800 projects? This was like something that I could not understand, and the failure rate. So I worked 10 years in a consulting firm. I felt like project management was not appreciated by the senior partners. And that was one of the reasons I had to leave, is they thought project management was something very tactical, nothing that you could charge high fees for it. So that was already a turning point for me, where I say, how come these senior leaders don't understand the value? So this is already about 20 years ago, I started this quest to try to understand why project management has been ignored basically by senior leaders, by HBR, by other highly influential places. And so from consulting, I moved into banking. I did M&A work, integration work. And then banking, I moved into pharma. So working on vaccines and now on sustainability. So I do have like a corporate role. And then I have like on my free time, I do some. I've been teaching for 20 years. I've been writing for many years. I'm kind of speaking about the value of project management to senior leaders around the world. So that's kind of my track record.
Well, that's super exciting, very diverse background, and it resonates in, on so many levels from project management perspective. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
So as a fellow author, I can only appreciate all of the hard work that goes on into just even thinking about writing a book, let alone delivering that and publishing that. And I think you've had a lot of great success, especially with an HBR. So tell us a little bit more about the premise of the book. What was the motivation behind this, and maybe a little bit more insight into what type of value can the readers get out of that?
Sure, maybe three motivations. Agenda. The first one is that when HBR asked me, or we were kind of in discussions to write a book, I think that's hard to say no, right? And even if I had just finished publishing two books 2 years before, I said no more books, but HBR knocks at the door and say, okay, yes, let's go again for this big roller coaster. And you know how it is. It's so tough. It's one of the toughest projects there is, at least personally. So that was HBR having that and using the platform of HBR for further convincing senior leader was key. Then I think one of the things that I wanted to do is simplify project management, clean the name of project management, make it simple. It's not complex. We made it very complex, but it can be much more simple. So everybody can use it, right? We are all part of this global economy, which I call the project economy. So we all need to have tools and frameworks that we can use in our projects personally as a managers and as a leader. So I wanted to bring something new, fresh, much more recent for people to apply. Most of the targets were people, either executives who are part of the sponsorship of a project, and they, what I noticed is they are often not prepared for that, and then non-professional project managers. So that kind of the two big areas I wanted to cover with the book.
Well, that's very exciting. And in terms of the practical recommendations, especially for companies that are either struggling or thinking about implementing project management practices, what are some of the most common pitfalls that you observe from executive perspective that at least initially at the inception levels, what are some of the, you know, strategies that you could share for that?
Sure. Let me break this down in three big areas, Jen, that I think that would make easier to the people to understand. So there's three big areas why project performance is so poor. One of them comes from project management itself. It has not evolved. It has been very polarized between traditional waterfall project management or agile, which is completely wrong because we should be embracing both. In fact, most of the digital transformation programs are a mix of both. You have some aspects of project management, some aspects of agile and continuous improvement and disruption. So I think we didn't have the right tools for that. And then the second big issue on that pocket is that project managers themselves have not felt accountable, have not stepped up to say, okay, I'm the boss of this project. I need to drive it. I need to make sure that we deliver benefits, not just on time, on budget, but why are we delivering this project to make some benefits? So I want those, right? So the role of the project manager has been a bit secondary, has been more a delivery person. And I think we need to step up and say, hey guys, I'm running this. I'm going to make it happen. So that's one area where I think companies need to step up. The second big area is senior leaders. Senior leaders have ignored project management. They focus so much on the operations, on the day-to-day. So there is a big part of their role that needs to change. One of them, it's funny, Jen, but I come across many companies, they have more projects than employees today. How is that possible? How can you manage more projects than your own staff and then have to run your business, right? So the fact that organizations cannot prioritize, that every idea becomes a project, that they're not able to finish projects or cancel them, this is a big step towards the way I see project competencies, that senior leaders should be able to prioritize and say, well, these are the top five projects we want to work on, and that's it. And then the role they play into sponsorship. So they don't know that they need to dedicate time to projects to drive them. There's a famous case with the Pfizer COVID vaccines where the CEO said, well, usually I don't spend many time on my projects, but I work a lot on the Pfizer, on the COVID 100%, and somehow that worked very well. Well, that's the answer. And the third part, Jen, just to keep it short, is the organizations. The structures that we have today are very much for the old world, driven by efficiency. So you see a lot of hierarchies and silos, and then the KPIs focus on that. And we need to bring more agility into the structures, flatter teams, project-based teams, the culture, much more team-based. So that's the three angles: the project management, senior leaders, and the organization.
Right, absolutely. And it's such a fascinating space, very complex. We could probably spend the rest of the podcast talking about that, but I appreciate the insights from that perspective. On the other side of the spectrum, a good portion of our listeners on Ivy Podcast are executives themselves, but also on the other side are early stage career professionals who are just getting into the trade. A lot of them are in project management space, so thinking about that route. In terms of aside from the obvious skills that project management really need, being, you know, extremely organized and being able to drive projects through the, you know, inception to the completion, what are some of the critical skills that you would invest in yourself if you were starting out in project management yourself, especially in current markets, in current industry conditions? What are some of the thoughts from that perspective?
Yeah, great question, Jan. I think that's something I've been asked a lot is, I'm a project manager, how can I evolve? I think There is a big element. Before, most companies were choosing project managers based on their technical skills, right? They can make a schedule, they can make a plan. And what you see now is that what we need is more the leadership part, right? So what I would say, if you're a young professional, develop your leadership skills. It's about engaging, motivating, negotiation skills, empathy, all these type of things that are possible to develop, but it requires a bit more insights on what are your strengths and weaknesses, and having a mentor or a coach or somebody to follow. That's absolutely a must if you want that. So I think we're moving really at this time, we're moving from management to leadership in this space. And then the second big area, I think, is care to understand or learn about where your project takes place. If you're working in a Bitcoin, or know about Bitcoin technology, if you're working in a telecom, know about telecom and what's the strategy of your organization. In the past, we thought that the project manager didn't need to know the content. That strategy was, you know, you to make a plan and deliver. Today is one of the most fundamental competencies, because you connect your project to the strategy where the company is going, and you learn to talk the talk of your leaders and stakeholders. So that would be something that I highly recommend. So invest in reading and learning about the space you're working and how your project will contribute. I always make a small exercise with people in my classes or so. Tell people around you what you're doing without mentioning the word project or project management. And that helps to say, okay, I'm changing my wording to talk to what really matters. So getting used to learn the language of your stakeholders, the executives, is so fundamental.
Right, absolutely. Those are definitely very great observations. Thank you for sharing that. When we talk about virtual project management, or, you know, leading projects in a fully remote virtual capacity, especially this year, we've seen, you know, tremendous growth in that perspective, but it adds another layer of complexity for project managers who are leading those initiatives, especially when it comes to building meaningful relationships with the stakeholders, with the teams, with the sponsors, and so forth. What are your thoughts? I realize it's a very complex and loaded question, but in terms of being able to hit the ground running from the very beginning and be very efficient in managing your projects virtually, what are some of the thoughts or some of the recommendations that you can share from that perspective?
Sure, it's a great question, and it's so actual, and you see that happening because everything is moving project-based through Zoom or Teams, or so how can you be more efficient? I think what you said is so crucial, is don't skip the socializing part. Don't skip that trust building phase where you usually would do that at the beginning of the project, right? You get people that you've never met before. And the first thing you want to know is, who are they? What do they like? What are their hobbies? What's their personal life? Don't go straight into, this is the project, let's define the scope, let's do the WBS. And so I think one step that I recommend for project leaders is take some time to get to know the team and let the people know to each other, and talk about your personal interests and why are you here. And so that's something that actually is super important. The other thing that I do is, as communication is so crucial, and if you start missing people in your calls, then it becomes a hassle and impacts your project. What I do is an open session every Friday, for example. Everybody can join us. It's not just for the steering committee. It's anybody interested, anybody contributing, just to have a view on how we're working. So I've opened up using the technology for having more access. So you see people coming from different parts of the world who join your steering committee, who learn, who make questions. So I think that opening up helps a lot to create that engagement that you miss because you don't see the people. So just two things that I think can make a difference: spend some time letting people know each other. Second, open up, use the technology in your advantage to reach more people.
Right, absolutely. The other interesting space that we had seen a lot of challenges, especially in current market conditions, is all around talent acquisition and building a team of high performers, especially on projects, especially those that are leading those initiatives. On a global scale, every company struggles in that space. Share your thoughts for that executives that are trying to build out world-class project management offices, yet they struggle to find the top talent to be able to do such. What are your recommendations from that perspective to be able to attract top talent in project management?
I think that's also one of the biggest challenges I see, because there's a scarce top talent in project management, but there's a lot of good technical project managers, but not the kind of project leaders that we need to have. So I think one of the biggest steps that I see working is when senior leaders embrace project management and say, listen, this is a key role for us. We need the best people. We're going to invest on them. We're going to give you a primary role to be part of this organization, part of our XXT. So not treating the project managers as second or admin staff, but give them the space to shine. And this happened actually with the pandemic, right? What happened? Why did companies survive? Is because they put some key leaders, project leaders, to drive the companies through the pandemic, right? To just turn around, to become digital in a few weeks while you were trying for 3 years. So give the space and the empowerment to your top three, top 10, top five project leaders, and let them drive. Don't block them, don't put a lot of bureaucracy. And that's the best way to create talent. We've seen that with the pandemic. Let's keep doing that.
Right, absolutely. And to double click on that from a talent acquisition perspective, when it comes to interviewing, I noticed that, you know, from the past, a lot of the interviews are flawed in the sense that it's focused on too much of the past personal experience, or what are the weaknesses that we can tolerate in that particular candidate versus the strengths that are missing on our team, and can that candidate actually fulfill that void? When you collaborate and work with executives at organizations of various size that are trying to build out these project management offices, as part of the interview process, what are your recommendations to fix that space, to really create that, a two-way street of a conversation between the hiring manager and the candidate? What are your thoughts overall on interviewing?
My thought is I'm looking more for the attitude and the hunger to drive change, to challenge the established, the status quo. So I think that's what I'm looking in an interview is, where have you done this? Have you shown that you can drive change? Give me some examples. Are you afraid of challenging senior leaders, or have you done that before? Give me some examples. So I'm looking more for the attitude than more like, have you done a plan before? Tell me about your weaknesses and your strengths. I want to see proofs of attitudes where they dare to take the steps, they dare to challenge, that they're ready to fight for their projects and their PMOs. So that's for me what I really look more than any kind of certification.
Right, absolutely. And the interview space, it's so complicated, mainly because there's so many variables to that. And to be able to set those, you know, expectations during a very short period of time of typically an hour or 2 hours and make that determination, I think that definitely is a muscle that you have to continue developing on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one just came to mind. I think the other thing I'm looking is team players. So there's very clear that projects, you need team players, people who are ready to sacrifice themselves to put the team always forward. So I'm looking for coaches, really. If like you're going to select the person who's going to coach your team, right, to lead their team to the next competition. So I'm looking really strongly on the team skills. And see how they have done that in the past. Team players are key.
Right. Absolutely. In terms of your content diet or the resources that you consume on a daily basis to stay ahead of the curve, to keep yourself educated on all things project management, besides any particular books, what are the resources that you utilize on a daily basis? Share with us those.
Well, I follow a few people, of course. Now it's so easy to get, everybody has a newsletter, right? So I like to follow Marshall Goldsmith on executive coaching, Rita McGrath on strategy, Roger Martin. But one thing I realized is that I have a weekly newsletter in LinkedIn. So it goes to, 18,000-19,000 people so far. And what I realize is that while you put some topics on the table, there's a bunch of exchanges afterwards, comments from people. And it's such a richness because these people are just professionals, maybe not high profile figures, but wow, I learned so much from them as well. So I think the whatever platform that you use for interchange with the community, not just promotional, I think there's a bunch of promotional stuff that are just too messy. But if you look for content and exchange with your community, I love that. Every week I learn something new with my community. So that's a great source for me for inspiration on site of the other big thinkers.
Yeah, that's a definitely very interesting perspective, especially utilizing the voice of your readers, the voice of your followers. I think that's all. It's exactly. Oftentimes overlooked space for some quality content. So definitely interesting perspective. Exactly. In terms of the trends that you are personally very excited about in project management, share with us those. Where do you see the trade of project management going in the next few years? What are some of the insights that you're very interested in?
Well, I think that finally there's some recognition that project management is not secondary, that everybody struggles with project. Now that I had the exposure from HBR, interesting, they often talk about agile and innovation and entrepreneurship. And most of the time, we all don't need to be entrepreneurs or innovators all the time, but we do manage projects and we all struggle from personal to a senior perspective. And so I find that people are recognized. The big difference now is that in the past, project manager was a small community, maybe 5% of an organization. Now everybody becomes project manager, everybody, because most of the operations are going to be done by robots and machines. And so there's a huge community that's coming into this space who need to learn to manage projects and work project-based. That makes it very, very exciting. I do think that taking it to another level, we've seen with the development of the COVID vaccine in 10 months instead of 10 years, that there's way to deliver massive change on top agenda issues like sustainability, climate change. If we follow those steps, so we've done that. We can address big global issues if we put all the criteria in place. So I'm going to be pushing on that space. I think we can do much more for the world if we invite project managers into the table for discussion. So how can we solve all these big issues, diversity and inequality and hunger? And so that's what is exciting me. I hope we can do more to make a better planet.
Right. Absolutely. That's definitely a very positive perspective into especially a lot of things that happening in the world right now. It's going to be exciting to see where the trade of project management goes. And I can definitely relate to what you're talking about as far as growth, because without project management, you cannot lead those global initiatives on the virtual, arena, especially. So you definitely need a team of, rock star project managers to be able to accomplish those tasks.
Exactly. There's one more comment I want to share on the future. I think embracement of technology. I think we've shied away from embracing artificial intelligence and machine learning into this space. And I'm very excited because I'm seeing some developments where there can be massive improvement if we introduce this type of new technologies also in projects. So that's the other big thing I'm working on and developing some AI work on that space. So that's so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely very exciting. I can't wait to see some of the outputs from that initiative. Definitely keep us posted. Yeah. As far as the books that, the book besides yours, the book that you're currently reading or the book that you always recommend to others, it doesn't necessarily have to be in project management. Just I always ask all of the guests, what are some of the recommendations there?
I was a big fan of The Goal from Goldsmith. The goal is super old, but it's like a novel around business and the critical chain in operations. I love it because it mixes business and novel, the story. So The Goal, I'll recommend that. And then one from a very good friend, which is Dori Clark. She just published The Long Game, How to Be Long-Term Thinking in a Short-Term World. I love to read Dori because she's super sharp in her comments. So The Goal, if you want a bit of history, and The Long Game from Dori Clark, just being published right now.
Right, absolutely. No, those are great recommendations, and we'll make those available in the show notes, as well as we'll link to your newly released book as well that we're all very excited about coming out. Antonio, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. I personally learned quite a bit. What I love doing with all of the guests on the podcast is doing a follow-up recording in about a year, where we revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything we had discussed still makes sense, still applies. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you as well.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you understand this incredible world of projects and project management, Jen. So always a pleasure to talk.
Likewise. Thank you so much for your time today.
Take care. Stay well.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.